بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering a dance and questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah,
who is Al-Mannan?
لا إله إلا الله.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. We're welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am your humble host, Ata. With me in the studio, we have Sayyid Zain. Assalamu alaikum, Sayyid. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Okay, Sayyid, for today's discussion, we want to get into somehow, it's better to say, a political topic. You know that now that we are recording this program, we are in a period called ceasefire between Iran and America. Mm-hmm. Of course, some people say that it is not a ceasefire. It is a cessation of the attacks, okay?
Right.
So, I mean, it is not a complete ceasefire. We see that it was violated by Israel and America many times. Mm-hmm. And by some of the countries around Islamic Republic of Iran. Now, the question is that we must obey the leader and the ruler of our Muslim lands and communities. But sometimes the ceasefire is over there. How to distinguish between the two? Shall we go on with the war against the oppressors or no? Shall we sign, for example, a ceasefire contract now? This is a major question. So how to understand that this is a time now to make a kind of peace with the enemy?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on what conditions can we do that? And aren't we allowed to, for example, and the second part of my question is that, can the Muslim land impose a kind of ceasefire or peace treaty on its leader or not? If the community gets to this consensus that we can do that, shall the leader or the ruler of that community accept it or not?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. I think the first thing we have to realize regarding this ceasefire or cessation of attacks.
That's right.
During war, it is very important that the people and the the soldiers and all the fighters, that they're all under the command of the leader. Right, that's very, very important.
Yes,
you cannot, go into war and everyone has his own opinions and everyone has, is doing whatever they want, because that kind of war effort is not going to lead to any kind of success. So it's very, very important now to listen to the leadership and what the leadership is saying. Okay, so now if the leadership has accepted and has decreed that right now is not a time to continue firing missiles, then that is something that, people, they have to accept and agree. So, we're told that with the enemies of Allah, we're supposed to be harsh. With the enemies of Allah, we're not supposed to kind of back down. If we are called to fight, then we have to go and fight, right? If it's our responsibility.
Yes.
All of that is true in its own place. And we as Muslims as well, we have to have that desire for fighting the enemy too, right?
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be the case that we have this fear in our hearts or we have this attachment to our own belongings and our own lives, such that we say that, okay, when the leader calls us for fighting, that we're like, no, we prefer not to do that. No, the believer wants to fight. And mm-hmm. we're told that in the hadith as well, that the believer against the enemies of Allah, he wants to sacrifice. And this is one of the characteristics of, a true believer. Okay, so that is all true in its own place. But due to strategic reasons, the leader can say that right now, okay, we're going to not fight. We're going to take a step back. There'll
yes.
be a ceasefire, perhaps even a strategic retreat as well, right? Depending on the type of warfare that's
yes.
happening. And all of that is part of war. That is how wars are supposed to be fought, right? You cannot fight a war just, without a goal, without a plan, without an overall strategy. And just go and kind of
sacrifice everything for that.
And,
I mean,
and you know, people said that as well, right? Like when the war in Gaza was happening, yes, at that time, and Lebanon had entered, and you know, Ansarullah had entered, and people were blaming Iran for why haven't you entered, and all of these things. We have to realize that there is a strategy. There, yes, are other players, right? Like for example, in this war, on the war on Jamhuri Islami Iran,
yes,
Hezbollah entered the war. Ansarullah didn't enter the war, yes, right? Why aren't they blaming Ansarullah for not entering? Well, it's part of the strategy.
Yes.
You know, these people are sitting together, or at least they are planning together. Mm-hmm. And right now is not the time for Ansarullah to enter in their, in, yes, their calculations, right? So,
okay,
so war requires strategy. War, yes, requires planning. And us as non-combatants, us as non-experts in this field, well, we really don't have a very weighty opinion here, mm-hmm, right? Like our opinion doesn't really matter so much. We don't have the knowledge on the ground. We don't have the knowledge of warfare itself.
Yes.
Because you see that, you know, happening all the time. People, they come and they say that, oh, this strategy that Iran has is wrong. After the 12-day war, for example, when the enemy stopped hitting, and they called for, you know, a ceasefire and all these things, and Iran hit that last hit, and then they stopped as well. People came and they said that, oh, you know, Iran should have continued hitting.
Why true promise number 3 and 4 aren't going on, aren't
Yeah, or for example, you know, right now Israel, yes, is down, they should keep hitting, and they should, you know, finish them off. No, there is a bigger strategy. There, mm-hmm, is, you know, more thought that needs to go into this. Mm-hmm. Me sitting on my couch, you know, thousands
it's
of miles
like away. It's like chess making, you know, it's just playing chess, you know. It is not as if, for example, you are going to the war, and then to say that, okay, let's do, and let's, we can't say sacrifice everything for that, mm-hmm, because we want to win the war. No, it is not the war.
Right.
And at the same time, your point about the people was really right. I mean, sometimes the people do not have enough knowledge about that. But if you're going to listen as a follower to a leader, the leader has said that your presence on the streets and your presence in the main squares over nights and days, mm-hmm, you know, is now your obligation.
Right.
And sometimes the people ask themselves that, is it a religious obligation now on my shoulders to keep it? If I don't do that, I am not, for example, called a committed Muslim now, or a Shia one to my leader. How can we answer such people? I mean, the obedience to your leader, how long does it go?
So if the leader, you know, gives a hukum,
yes,
that everyone has to do this, then, well, that becomes binding upon the people under his domain, basically, right? Now, with regards to this coming on the street, I'm not sure if that hukum is there. There is very strong encouragement, for sure, from the leader and from other scholars as well who've praised the people coming out on the streets and taking part in this. But to the extent of saying that somebody who doesn't go, he has sinned, I am not sure if that would be true to say,
mm-hmm,
right? You know, we'd have to look into it more and ask more about that. But still, it's something that's very highly recommended.
That's right.
It's something that is, you know, makes us part of this,
yes,
effort as well, right? And we're told in the Quran that this effort, whatever we do for it, mm-hmm, right, whatever, you know, when Islam and the Muslimin, they are in danger, right? So the enemy of Islam is coming, they're attacking, Islam itself is in danger. And at that time, whoever takes a stand, whoever, mm-hmm, does his responsibility, whoever does the jihad, that's rewarded with a great reward by Allah.
Right.
It's recorded and rewarded, okay, and it's something that's very, very valuable in Islam.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Historically speaking, if you want to put it in the context, the best example was the case of the hakamiya or arbitration at the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Mm-hmm.
There were a faction called Khawarij, you know, inside the group of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the army. They forced Imam Ali alayhi salam to accept it. Imam Ali alayhi salam from day one knew that this will happen, but in order to save the unity of the Muslim did so and said there were so many lessons in that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it very much reminds me of the negotiations that go on with the United States of America. From day one, Rahbar Shahid, you know, the martyr leader, has said that you go on and negotiate with America, but I think that there will be no fruit in that.
Right.
I mean, there are no touchable fruit because Iran in 2015 signed JCPOA.
Mm-hmm.
And who was going to be out of that and who becomes United States of America?
So I feel what's happening now, it's different than at that time.
That's right.
At that time, Iran didn't really have any proper way of enforcing them to hold their part of the deal. But I believe that right now, although there's not much talks that are happening, right? So there was that one day of talks that happened in Pakistan. And after that, Iran has refused to go and talk to America, which shows a good sign that, until you accept our demands, you're not even going to talk.
We know that we were attacked during two negotiations.
They use the negotiations as a
cover up
for their own attacks. But I think even if, negotiations are to happen, right? I think we shouldn't just look at it in this way, that negotiations, we're never going to talk to the enemy. And, I don't think that's the proper way to look at it. I think the proper way to look at it would be this, that now that, we have a way to make sure that they do their side of the deal, perhaps, certain things we can go and we can talk about, right? So now with this control of the Strait of Hormuz.
Yes.
And the possibility of, stronger control, right? We can go with that and talk about some of these things and make the enemy accept some of these things, right? I don't think that's against kind of the spirit of Islam. I don't think it's against what the leader is saying either.
Mm-hmm.
So now this idea that, some people now, they're forcing the leader to accept ceasefire negotiations, I don't think that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's part of a strategy.
Yes.
And I think now we're in a stronger position than we have, Iran has ever been in.
Yes.
And they can make some of these demands, make the enemy accept them and act on them as well. And I think that's a good thing.
Recently on the social media, you could see this footage of a journalist asking the spokesperson of the Foreign Ministry of Islamic Republic of Iran, Dr. Baqai, who says that, okay, America is a superpower. Why don't you retreat? Mm-hmm. And why do you back down? And Mr. Baqai says that we are a superpower too.
Right. And, and I think that's a good mentality to have.
Yes.
Now that, we are powerful as well. And, we can force them to do what we want. So I think that's a good mentality to have.
Mm-hmm.
Just this comment that that was made, I think it has to be. So what was said, it's all good, and it shows the strength of the Muslimin and the strength of Iran. But we have to keep in mind when the discussion of superpowers comes, that there's only one superpower, right? And that's Allah
Subhanahu wa Taala.
Right? So the true answer, from the basic kind of understanding of Islam, would be this: that nobody is a superpower except for Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, and whoever Allah Subhanahu wa Taala wills.
Okay.
Right? So even if Iran didn't have this apparent control, the believers are always superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they're backed by Allah Subhanahu wa Taala.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Sayyid Zain, for a nice elaboration regarding this topic, obedience to the leader, and why the ceasefire, what are the conditions for that, and how was the arbitration imposed on Imam Ali alayhi salam. It was very kind of. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs with me, Atta, the host of this program. Please, for more information, visit our website, iranradio.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban li aliyin wa husaynin wa hasan. Li aliyin wa husaynin wa hasan. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن. حسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن